Which one you want to listen? Peter walks on the water or Jesus walks on the water? We have listened many sermons on this particular passage, Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33, where Jesus walked on the water. Of course, Peter wanted to walk, and you know what had happened. We heard many sermons in which Peter is portrayed as a hero of that passage. Peter walked on the water. So we tick saying that, yes, Peter is the hero. But if you closely look at this passage, it is not about Peter at all. It is about our Lord Jesus. Jesus walks on the water. We use two technical words in our liturgy or in our Christian doctrines, epiphany and theophany. Both have got similar meaning. Epiphany, funny of epi, and funny of theo, funny, P-H-A-N-Y, shine. Or show. Epi means over or above. So epiphany means shine forth, which we say manifestation. Epiphany. God, we realize the presence of God among us. We see the manifestation of God among us. When we came to the season of Epiphany, I gave the explanation of the yellow car. You know, God is always with us, but when we realize it, then only it hits our heart. Epiphany. Theophany means manifestation of God. God's manifestation. God takes initiative in revealing himself to us. Theophany. So we use both words, and I think the both words have the similar meaning, epiphany, theophany. Now, Matthew has got Jewish readers in mind. So his readers know the Old Testament. His readers know how God manifested himself in the scripture, how God spoke to his people in the Old Testament, the theophanies in the Old Testament. So Matthew, when he writes, he knows that his readers will be able to understand how Jesus revealed himself if he puts things in that perspective. Because his readers always able to see the similarities in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. Also, Matthew wants to see how the prophecies, how the word of God in the Old Testament fulfilled in Jesus. So this particular incident, this particular event is very important to Matthew. Jesus walks on the water. This is recorded in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John. Luke, of course, missed it. I don't know why he did not pick this up. But only in Matthew, we get to read that Peter walked on the water. We will come to that little later. So theophany, God's manifestations. When we look at the theophanies in the Old Testament, there are many, but I want to pick up three things. God spoke to Moses through the burning of the bush, theophany, an encounter with God. Burning of the bush. That particular theophany has changed the life of Moses, not only his life, and that has brought redemption to the people of Israel in Egypt. They came out of slavery. That's an important theophany. The second thing that I want to bring is, this is in Exodus chapter 19, verses 17 to 19. I want to read Exodus chapter 19, verses 17 to 19. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. They took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. The smoke went up like the smoke of the kiln, while the whole mountain shook violently as the blast of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses would speak and God would answer him in thunder. Another theophany. God speaks to Moses in thunder. God answers to his answers to Moses in thunder. Another revelation of God, how God speaks to his people. And the third example that I want to bring is from 1 Kings. Elijah walked for 40 days and 40 nights and he came to Mount Horeb. Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, both are same. According to many scholars, both mountains are same. Now, he came there. You know, why did he walk all these 40 days and 40 nights? It's all because of the threat from Jezebel, and he came to now Horeb. He had his own questions, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. There God revealed himself. First there was a strong wind. The wind was so strong that the wind split the mountains. The wind broke the rocks, but God was not there. Second, earthquake took place, but God was not there. Third, fire came, and he searched God, and God was not there. Thirdly, very, very interestingly, this is a still, small voice God spoke to Elijah. A gentle whisper. God speaks to Elijah in a small whisper voice. We can come with any kind of a conclusion why God was not there in the earthquake, in heavy wind, and in fire. But now God is talking to him in a mild voice. A gentle whisper, theophany. Now, in this lesson that we have read from Matthew chapter 14, God speaks to his disciple in thick darkness, in the midst of roaring waves, in the midst of uncertainties. Jesus spoke to his disciples, theophany. What a great thing that we learn here. I want to read, Matthew, when he writes this, he wants to see how the Old Testament scripture is fulfilled in Jesus. There are two verses that I want to read. One is from Psalm 77:19. Your way was through the sea, your path through the mighty waters, yet your footprint is unseen. This is Psalm 77:19. Isaiah 43:16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. Jesus walks on the water, comes to his disciples, and speak to them. Now, why Matthew has put this in this place? To understand Matthew's reason, we had to go back to Matthew chapter 8, a similar kind of an incident where Jesus was in the boat, but of course sleeping, and the boat was about to sink. The disciples came and woke him, and Jesus rebuked the winds, and everything became, the winds obeyed, and it became calm. A similar situation. Now we have to look at both Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 14. And in, when we look at both, we have a lot of similarities. Number one, the disciples were in the boat. Yes, the disciples were on the boat sailing. Number two, in both occasions, a sense of Jesus' absence is felt. Of course, in the first incident, Jesus was sleeping, and here in this incident, Jesus was not at all there physically. He came out walking on the water. Third, on both occasions, the sea became rough, threatening their lives. And number four, on both occasions, Jesus had shown his power. Jesus has power to calm the sea. And in chapter 8, towards the end of that incident, when Jesus rebuked the sea, when it became calm, they all said, the disciples said, "Who is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him." Theophany. Who is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him. Here in this passage, Matthew chapter 14, at the end, the disciples said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Theophany, a revelation, manifestation of God. Matthew wants us to know this. Jesus is divine. Jesus is God. He can find way on the water, on the waters. Now, I think I have said this before, but let me say that the gospel writers want us to know at least five things about Jesus. He has power over sickness. He has power over demons. He has power over death. He has power over nature. And he has power to forgive our sins. Theophany, this is the understanding that we receive from the gospel writers. Theophany, God is always revealing to us in the midst of darkness, in the uncertainties, and when we know that there is no hope forward, there God reveals himself to us. The disciples have been struggling for some time now. Probably they started sailing around 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the evening. Till now, they have been rowing in the boat. It's not easy at all. They came middle of the sea, and they cannot go back nor go forward because the opposite wind was so strong. According to the gospel writers, Jesus came to them only in the morning, the fourth watch, that is between 3 and 6 in the morning. So Jesus came to them. They were terrified. They were going through a tough time for many hours, and Jesus is walking on the waters coming to them. Someone said, "It is a ghost." They saw someone walking and they said, "It is a ghost." Already we are in trouble. Already we are going through difficult time. Another trouble is going to be added, that we see a ghost. That's the kind of a situation. Someone very beautifully said, those who are frightened, every bit of darkness is considered as a ghost. You know, if you are frightened, if you are having a difficult time, then everything looks not a relief to us, not a positive one to us. And they were terrified. But Jesus immediately answered, or immediately spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, don't be afraid. Take heart, it is I, don't be afraid." The disciples immediately know who is this. It is I. The readers of Matthew Gospel know who is this. It is I. I am. The readers of Matthew, they know that this is how God revealed himself to Moses. I am who I am. It is I. The God is with us. He is standing in the midst of storm, in the midst of roaring waves, in thick darkness. He is with us. The disciples have realized that. In biblical literature, the sea is often represented as the abode of demonic forces. You can read that in several passages in the Old Testament, or you can Google and find out. The sea is a place where you find demonic forces. When the new heaven and new earth is mentioned, there is no sea, but only the river, the life of river of life, I'm sorry. So sea is considered that. Even when we read Job 41, chapter 41, verse 1, Leviathan, a sea monster is mentioned. Now Jesus is standing on the waters. Jesus has power over demons, and standing before with them and says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It is I. I'm standing with you." Jesus came to his disciples not to judge them, not to scold them, not to find fault at them, not to give reasons why they are struggling. But Jesus came to rescue them. Jesus came to help them. You know, our minds are always like that. Why I go through this difficult time? Is it because of my sin? Is it because of my parents' sin? Jesus says, no, God's work might be revealed in you. That's probably the reason you are going through that tough time. Jesus says here, take heart. The word take heart can be translated in many ways. Cheer up. Be of good cheer. Be encouraged. I am here. I have come to save you. I have come to redeem you. Don't be afraid. He gives you assurance to his disciples. John MacMurray, a Scottish philosopher, he comes up with the real religion and illusory religion, a kind of a not real religion. What not real religion will say, what illusory religion will say, he says, fear not, trust in God, and he will see that none of the things you fear will happen to you. This is not real religion. The really real religion will say, fear not, the things that you are afraid of are quite likely to happen to you, but they are nothing to be afraid of. That's the real religion. Yes, it's real. Struggles are all around us. It's real. We are in the midst of roaring waves. It's real that difficult times are there. But don't be afraid of them, because Jesus says, it is I. Don't be afraid. Take heart. Take heart. Jesus himself said that, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, because I have won the world. Someone very beautifully said, I want to read this. Adversity is not a sign of God's displeasure, or prosperity is a sign of God's pleasure. Wealth does not equate to God's favor, or poverty is God's unfavor. Illness is not a sign of inadequate faith, or health a sign of great faith. But remember, Jesus is with you. Whether you have wealth, whether you have not enough wealth, whether you are sick, whether you are healthy, whether you go through difficult times, or whether you have a comfortable life, remember, take heart. Jesus is with you. Don't be afraid. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Now, Peter wanted to walk on the water. Now, he says very beautifully, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. This similar dialogue we might have heard somewhere else also, where we have heard the same gospel in Matthew chapter 4. Satan came to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Now, we need to go a little deeper on this. In another occasion, James and John, their mother of James and John, came to Jesus and said, when you come into your kingdom, let my son sit on your right and the left. Jesus looked at them and said, are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Why I bring these three things here? What is the intention of saying that I want to walk with you, Jesus? When Satan asked this question, he suggested Jesus that command these stones to become the loaves of bread. He wanted to test Jesus. Or you can use the word temptate Jesus. When the mother of James and John came to Jesus and said, my sons should sit on your right and left, he wanted his children, his sons, to be elevated to the level of Jesus. When Peter said, I want to walk on the water, as you walked, I should also walk. Probably he said because he wanted to have the thrilling experience. So the intention is important. I think if we give that benefit of doubt to Peter, then that's fine. But if Peter says, I want to be like you, you are divine, I also want to be in that status, then there is a problem. Only he is God. We are human beings. He graciously came to our level to rescue us. We never become God. We are human beings. We need to understand our limitations. What is the point of walking on the water? Should we walk on the water and show that I'm somebody great? No. If that is the case, Jesus wouldn't got into the boat. He would have said, okay, all 11 disciples come out. We will all walk on the water to the other side. The intention is important, but through this, we are getting a lesson. Jesus is willing. Jesus says, come on. He asked a permission. We shouldn't be blaming Peter for that. He said, if you come, ask me to come, I'm coming. He is wanting Jesus to give him the invitation. He asked Jesus the permission, and Jesus said, come. And then he immediately get out of the boat. 11 other disciples stayed in the boat. Now, faith, if you act in faith, you had to take risk. Someone very beautifully said, a life of faith is inherently a life of risk. We have got many such examples in the Old Testament. I don't want to go into that. If you walk in faith, then you had to remember that risk is always important, always part of it. Faith always has got risk element in it. So Peter walked on the water. We really do not know how many steps he took. How far he walked, we don't know. But he walked because of Jesus. He walked because Jesus gave him the permission to walk. But as we read this passage, he looked here and there. He took his eyes off Jesus, and then he was about to be drowned. Of course, immediately he prayed. That prayer is important. Lord, save me. And Jesus saved him. And at this point, Jesus very beautifully said, you of little faith, why do you doubt? You of little faith, why do you doubt? This is not about Jesus rebuking Peter. Jesus is not saying, you are too much in your desire, Peter. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not saying that you are attempting too much, Peter. That's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is that you are trusting too little. You are not keeping your eyes fixed on me. You are trusting too little. What Jesus is saying is that again he is encouraging him. Again he is cheering him up. Increase your faith, Peter. Increase your faith. As I come to the close of the meditation, let us be encouraged. Theophany, the Lord is with us. He is with us in the midst of difficulties. Only thing, our eyes are not seeing that. We have to have the eyes to see Jesus with us all the time. And when we are encouraged, encourage others. Encourage others. In our second lesson, we talked about preaching. Go, preach. The world is full of discouragement. The world is full of no hope. And now you are going there as an encourager, bringing hope to the people. So Barclay very beautifully said, I want to read, one of the highest human duties is the duty of encouragement. It is easy to laugh at man's ideals. It is easy to pour water at their achievement. It is easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage others. Many a time, a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept a man on his feet. Blessed is the man who speaks such a word. We have been encouraged by the Lord. with his by his presence, and we are to encourage others. Someone said, with this I'll close, flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me, I will not forget you. May the dear Lord help us so that we are the encouragers in this world. God bless us all. Amen.